This is Studio 360. I'm Kurt Anderson. Today we'll hear how Iraq's National Symphony Orchestra survives. And we'll listen to an orchestra of a different kind, out in the wild. But first, Patti LuPone has made a Broadway career out of playing powerful women. Maria Callas, Eva Peron, and now a Tony-winning performance as Mama Rose in the classic musical Gypsy. It's the story of the vaudeville performer and stripper, Gypsy Rose Lee, and her complicated relationship with her stage mother, Rose. The musical's packed with show-stopping numbers, huge emotional highs and lows. The role of Mama Rose is something like the King Lear of American musical theater, and people who've seen all the classic productions of Gypsy say it's never been done better. Patti LuPone, welcome to Studio 360.
Thank you very much.
So you perform this what must be a monster of a role 8 times a week. You have a show to do in a few hours. You don't seem exhausted.
No, I'm not.
But so how do you do that? How do you, I mean, every time I, well, certainly when I saw you do this, I thought, my God, that must just take everything out of you. Does it not?
It's a hard question to answer because I think I am tired, but I certainly can't admit to it because then I'd fall apart. However, whenever, I think it's an incredible muscle to be able to play 8 shows a week, whether you're doing this or a walk-on. And you have to prepare for it physically.
So tell me what that is, what you go through.
Well, it's sleep. It's vocal silence, especially if it's a musical, if I'm singing. It's working out. It's proper diet, except after the show. It's several drinks. But it's everything to prepare for the evening performance. And in a way, it's totally a monk-like existence.
Before we talk some more, let's listen to a bit of the end of Act One showstopper, which, of course, is Everything's Coming Up Roses.
I had a dream. A dream about you, baby. It's gonna come true, baby. They think that we're through, but
that's Patti LuPone in Gypsy. Do you remember the first time you ever heard that song?
Yes, it's the Ethel Merman recording. I grew up on Long Island. And
of Gypsy, the original Gypsy?
Yeah, I didn't see it. I heard it. I remember hearing it. I remember growing up listening to Ethel Merman and Mary Martin. I knew I had a big voice. Having heard those albums, I knew that my voice was built for the Broadway stage at 4 years old.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I knew at 4 where I was going. I never looked back. That's why I don't have a hobby, because I knew what I was going to do at 4 and just did it. I had to drag my mother, you know.
You were a stage child, forcing your parents?
Yes, exactly. There was always music in our house. Mom used to go to the old Metropolitan Opera. So we had all of these librettos, and we had all of these 78s of the operas, and my father listened to jazz, and I actually wanted to be a rock and roll singer.
Really?
I grew up during, you know, Cousin Brucey, and I wanted to be in a rock band. I wasn't a rocker.
Because?
I sounded like a Broadway singer.
But you had, before that, you performed with your brothers, yeah? You had a little act?
Yeah, the LuPone Trio. We did an adagio waltz to Bella the Ball. Banam, 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 bam, banam, bam. With my two brothers, and then my brother Bobby and I had a tango.
Your mother, you say, was not Mama Rose, was not a stage mother. Did she just say, okay, Patti, whatever you want?
My mom and dad got divorced after 30 years of marriage, and my mother threw everything into her kids. And so Bobby and I dragged my brother Billy, who had no interest whatsoever. Bobby and I were gung-ho, and Mom had to drive us. And so that became her life. She just drove us around. She famously said to Bobby and I, when are you going to stop flitting from job to job? When she thought we could get a 30-year musical or something. yeah, she was a great supporter, but had no talent. of her own and didn't understand where we got ours or what our drive was.
So that's lucky. As opposed to, say, the woman in this show whose whole career dream for herself is foiled.
Mm-hmm.
The Gypsy raises this question, if stars are born or made. Sounds like you were born.
Yes. I was born to be on the stage. I know that whatever it is that I was born to do attracts an audience. I know people want me to sing.
Does the fact that this role requires so much of you emotionally make it even more demanding?
I've played a lot of emotional roles.
Right.
And David Mamet said years ago in a rehearsal process, wipe your feet at the door, basically. Don't bring anything into the theater and certainly leave everything there when you leave.
So you're not one of these actors who famously stay in character for days on end?
No, I'm not.
Lucky for your family in this case.
What did it get me?
Yes, and me.
Yeah.
And me. I don't.
Scrapbooks full of me in the background.
I'm an actor and I'm a human being.
Give them love and what does it get you?
So I would prefer to live my life and not have Rose inside of it.
Yes.
All your life and what does it get you? Thanks a lot and out with the garbage. They take bows and you're ground zero.
By the end of the show and the curtain call, I'm done.
I had a dream. I dreamed it for you, Joe. It wasn't for me, Herbie. And if it wasn't for me, then where would you be? Miss Gypsy Rose Ray. Well, someone tell me, when is it my turn? Don't I get a dream for myself? Starting now, it's gonna be my turn. Gangway, well, get off of my runway. Starting now, I got a thousand this time, boys. I'm taking a
That's Patti LuPone from Gypsy. In her absolutely moving and terrifying performance as Mama Rose at that moment, what's going through your head as you're doing that number? Are you just entirely in the character? And
hopefully.
Yeah?
Thank you for the compliment, by the way. Hopefully I'm in because that takes a lot to move it along, as it were, to the ending. That was really hard for me to figure out. It is a woman's descent. It's a woman's breakdown. Why did I do it? She says it before she leaves the dressing room. What did I do it for? She says it here, and at the end, she finally admits I did it for myself. How often do you get to have a song like that, a piece of theater like that? It's every great Shakespearean speech. Where you're alone
Queen
on stage.
Lear, yeah.
When you're alone on stage, and you got the audience, just you and the audience and the text, and you get to do that. It's a parent's lament. I think, you know, my mom and I did not have a great relationship because I don't think she understood me. In the discovery of this part for me, I conjure my mother. I look back to my son. You know, I think of these hoping that I'm not going to do to my son what I think my mother did to me. Do you know what I mean? My
Yes.
mother maybe didn't do that to me, but it's that familial relationship. It's a parent's scream.
Now, you are clearly an emotionally expressive, robust person.
I'm an Italian. My emotions are on the surface of my skin. I was born to do this because of all this stuff in me. All of this stuff I have was meant to be on the stage. You know, a director once said to me, "I would never have a film career because my face is too big." And I was devastated. But in fact, it's a stage face. The features are big so that it reads. All my gestures are big. And, of course, then they were trained at Juilliard.
And your voice is big.
Everything is big.
Well, it's interesting. You're, as you say, a classically trained actress, and you're also this singer, this musical star. If you had to make that choice, you know, a great David Mamet role or a great Stephen Sondheim role, can you pick?
No. Eek. Ouch.
Gypsy.
The easier one is speaking part. Right now I've got, I sang hard last night and I'm listening to my voice going, uh-oh.
And now we're ruining you for tonight's performance.
Well, I'm wondering.
Patti LuPone, thank you very much.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
Patti LuPone is now starring in Gypsy on Broadway.
You're behind, Louise. Catch up, honey. Catch up.
You can listen to a song from the cast album at studio360.org. Coming up, performing classical music in one of the most dangerous places on earth.
When you do the 1812... and you do those cannon shots in the 1812. you don't need to import much of the sound here.
Precisely. We do have cannons, lots of cannons. We had lots of cannons. But for now, I mean, basically the timpanis are doing good enough.
The National Symphony Orchestra of Iraq. That's ahead in Studio 360 from PRI, Public Radio International. Stay with us.